Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and win back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot means it's a great deal. A yellow dot means it's a good deal. A red dot, not so good deal. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout. Receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? The promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, so we are hardwired in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got the good stuff. Hardwired. Right into the veins.
Which, you know, we tried it Saturday, Andrew, right? It didn't work. I still had some problems, but I straightened that out, so we're good. So that's a little inside stuff for the people on the live stream. We're excited to have you. So the Saints did rookie minicamp. Did either of you take 10 minutes out of your weekend to give a shit about minicamp?
No, I was most interested in who ended up getting contracts. And Genio Grissom, you know, former draft pick who was from Oklahoma. I saw his name on there. And
Genio Grissom sounds like a reject from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, he's a reject from the Patriots, actually. They also signed Sylvester Williams, who was a bust first-round pick. So, I don't know. Those are both kind of interesting. I mean, those are guys that have been on other teams that have played in the league. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they outperformed rookies.
Dave, if I gave you – if I offered you – $5 million to name where either of those two guys went to college without the ability to look it up on the internet, could you do it? Dave? He muted himself.
He either muted himself or that question just made him hang up
because
he was too afraid to admit that he couldn't get it right.
I couldn't have answered either of those. I mean, did you, as we wait for Dave's return, Andrew, you were kind of freaking out because the Saints, most teams by this point have like ramped up to almost 90 people. And you in the last couple of days are like, the Saints, they haven't gotten to 90. Why haven't they gotten to 90? And my theory was the Saints trying to get to 90, it was kind of difficult because their roster's loaded. UDFAs, they have like a 1% chance to make a normal team. When the roster's good, they have a like 0% chance. So my theory was the Saints were like a person when the hurricane comes and you're shopping at Walmart and yeah, you need to make food purchases, but there's literally no food to buy. That's how I felt the Saints were trying to get the roster to 90. There's like nothing worth buying. But they made some moves today. Dave, are you back with us?
I am, actually. I don't know what happened. My internet connection just totally dropped out.
So,
well, once Ralph gets his shit fixed, it's no surprise. Right, Dave would then immediately...
Sure. Another domino fall.
Misery does love company.
So, right. Dave, the question I asked right before you dropped off, Andrew named the last two people that the Saints just signed. One was from New England, and one was a draft bust. I said, if I offered you $5 million and you didn't have access to the internet, could you name where either of those two men went to college?
I don't even know what their names are. The only thing I know about is one of them the fullback from the Lions. Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Oh, yeah, there was a fullback they signed. Yeah,
they did.
Didn't they just sign a fullback from the Lions? Didn't they today?
They did.
Yeah. No. I don't. No. I listened to some AM sports talk radio this evening on my way running errands, and on the way home, I listened to Brett Martell at the AP. He was talking with Corey Johnson. They were talking about rookie minicamp. Obviously, everybody was talking about
Corey Johnson.
Yeah, I love Corey. By the way, he's coming to the store. I've met him a couple of times. I actually like his show. I think he's probably got one of the best local shows on the radio in New Orleans. So obviously, what I do know is that everybody was talking about Gardner Johnson, or is it Johnson Gardner?
Gardner Johnson.
Okay, well, what I learned was that apparently he went by Johnson Gardner like part of the way through his career at Florida and then switched it and now goes by Gardner Johnson. So, like, it's, like, super confusing, especially if you've, like, been following him, like, throughout his career. I'm pretty sure that that's what they were – unless they were joking.
Was he just, like, too shy to correct people on the flip-flop?
I don't know. I have no idea. Unless Brett Martell was just joking around, but I've listened to Brett Martell and Corey Johnson regularly, and I haven't really known Brett Martell to be much of a jokester. He's kind of, you know, very straightforward and bland. I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way, but so I don't know. So I heard that he was doing great, and you know, I think a lot of people were hyped up about the tight end. I saw Ralph tweet about that too, and and then the who was it? There was somebody else that I thought had, like, was oh, maybe that was it. Yeah, that was it.
I mean,
how many of these guys are going to make the final roster? Three? Four?
One.
Maybe? I mean, three years ago, half of them would have been on the team.
I know.
But thankfully, it's 2019, so maybe, like, two or three of them will make the team.
Hey, Andrew, I don't think two will make the roster. Do you?
This is like draft picks and stuff.
No, I mean...
Two of what?
I don't know that all the draft picks will make the roster. Two UDFAs aren't making this roster, right, Andrew?
No. Well, I mean, let's see. Last year, I mean, if you count, like, Kirkwood, who made the team halfway through the year, and JT Gray, who, like, made the team to start the year and then ended up not really being on the team. And then who was the other one? Stallworth was, like, the one that was there all year.
Yeah,
I think it'll play out like that. I think there'll be one like Stallworth that kind of from start to finish is on the team. Then you'll have one that makes it through first cuts and then 3 weeks into the season. And then there's, you know, guys from the practice squad that'll get called up after injury. So, I mean, yeah, I think a couple.
Just FYI, Andrew, I'm in the live chat too. I can see what you're saying. You don't have to fucking hide your opinions from me, buddy.
Do I need a cat sound effect besides our natural one in the background?
I think we've got plenty of cat sound effects. Thank you.
So, you know, here's the thing, man, is, you know, the big news that me and Andrew were chatting about, and, you know, even before the live stream kicked off, but people were wanting updates. The sex toy people have not returned my email. I emailed them multiple times. They have not gotten back to me with their proposal or what they want to do as far as sponsor the show. I will say... The interesting
they're
thing
not,
about
they're not they've never had somebody actually respond to them and take them seriously, so they're not they have no idea what to do.
They
don't
clearly
know what step
they've
two
never
is.
Met Ralph Malbro.
Yeah, they have no idea what step two is. When they put together the plan, it was step one, spam a bunch of podcast hosts. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit. We don't know what to do in step two. We don't know what to do after we send out the spam email that everybody just marks.
Yeah, they're probably all in some basement somewhere. They're like, oh my god, Ralph responded. What do we do? What do we do?
I'm imagining like six people in like in Africa, like crowding around a single screen, just like talking and amongst themselves and deciding what the next move should be.
I will say though, it was interesting. I got a bunch of emails from other people wanting to be a sponsor on the podcast, but most of them just want to pay and be on the show, and that you cannot do. But if you want to pay me like $1 million, I'll just give you the show and I'll go off to the Bahamas and you can take over. But that's never going to happen. It's too much fun, actually. So the other big Saints news, besides the people, the more people wanting to sponsor the show, which is good, Ziggy Ansah signed with Seattle, and it did in my dream, Dave, of being able to mispronounce Ziggy Ansah's name all year long. And does this make you kind of worried about the Saints pass rush? Because now they have Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport and a bunch of question marks.
I mean, whatever. If they didn't think he was worth it, if they weren't willing to spend whatever money, then I've got to go with it. Usually in these situations, they make the wrong decision. You know, maybe, you know, they might sign somebody and then all of a sudden the medical records, they get a second opinion and all of a sudden the guy's got leukemia and he has to like retire or whatever. I mean, so if the Saints thought
leukemia shoulder,
if the Saints thought something was wrong, then something definitely was wrong. Whatever the case may be, it's fine. I mean, I think, hold on.
As the tournament with Delvin Bro's leg shows, maybe the fact that the Saints thought he was too injured and weren't interested in signing him means he really has a clean bill of health and is about to have it.
Yeah, you could look at it that way too. Yeah, you could look at it. It's a crapshoot. Who knows? it was either the best.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, not signing Ziggy Ansah was either the best move they've ever made or the worst move they've ever made. So who knows?
No in between. He's either his shoulder is falling off and it has gangrene, or he's getting 15 sacks.
Yeah.
Nothing in the middle.
Right, he's going to be on IR.
That's the Ralph standard.
He's going to be on IR.
Every week during the season, Dave, Ralph calls me and he's like, Andrew, you know, this is one of those weeks where Breeze is either going to turn it over 7 times or the Saints are going to win by 50. There's no in between.
It's true.
And guess what? In between happens every time.
Back to your original question. I mean, I think the Saints have addressed defensive line a good bit. I mean, they signed 2 defensive tackles. Who did they draft? Well, they drafted a linebacker, but.
Didn't do anything in the draft.
Yeah. Well,
really nailed that one.
Well, here's a fun question. They're sniffing around in Dominican Sue again. What's y'all's thoughts on that?
1 year contract, I'm all for it. I feel like
I agree.
I feel like Sue is Nick Fairley all over again. Okay? So if you want to know my feelings about the Saints signing Donkey Kong Sue, just listen to all of our past podcasts about Fairley. If they want to bring him in on a 1 year contract, great. Multi-year deal worth lots of money. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's all he would be getting for sure.
I mean, do you think where's his, I mean, granted, I will come clean and say, look, I didn't think Ziggy Ansah was going to get $9 million with $13 million it can go to with incentives. I didn't think he was going to get anywhere near that because me and Dave and Andrew, we've been joking. You know, he's been on the tour. He went to like 6-7 different teams. And I just felt when you do that tour and you're injured, like I figured he'd get like a $5 million deal, but he got paid. So Sue got paid last year, and we kind of figured that, look, he's going to go to the Rams. They have a ton of cap space. It's in L.A. It's just a better fit for him, whatever. But this year, he's a year older. He really underachieved for the Rams and didn't do a damn thing except in the playoffs. He was really good against the run. Besides that, he really wasn't that good. So, Andrew, where do you think his price point, not like he's a stock or something, I'm Jim Cramer on Mad Money, but where do you think his price is going to be?
I mean, what was it? 10 million last year?
No, it was more than that.
More?
It was like 14.
Yeah, I mean, I think Loomis will say, "Hey, we'll give you 6 million to play with us this year." And you know, the thing is, like, I know that he got to the Super Bowl and he played well in the playoffs, but his tape shows that he kind of loafed all year. He kind of slacked his way into giving half-assed effort, and the offense bailed him out all year. And they ended up having a pretty easy schedule because Arizona and the 49ers were both awful. And it was a down year in Seattle. So, like, they coasted, man, of that division. And I just think – I don't think it was very impressive.
He's Nick Fairley.
I don't think anyone looked
at
his year and says, man, we're going to pay him another 1 year, $14 million. I think that ship has sailed. And so I think the best Sue gets at this point is maybe 6 or 7 a year.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. Back to your Nick Fairley comparison. If Sue wasn't motivated in L.A. on a 12-4 team that ended up winning the NFC Championship by bogus circumstances, obviously, if he wasn't motivated on that team all year,
well, he was motivated.
The fuck is he going to be motivated for the Saints?
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, you say he wasn't motivated, but I mean, you know, he kind of stepped it up in the playoffs, and he the last few weeks of the season and into the playoffs, he was playing pretty well. So I'm willing to take a guy like that if he wants to take it easy early on in the season and then start crushing worlds in the playoffs. Okay, sign me up.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like the Saints are loaded on the interior, but then, you know, you've got Rankins. Who knows when he's going to be back? Obviously, you're counting on Malcolm Brown to start. Onyemata.
Rankins isn't going to be back till like November. I wouldn't plan on having him till.
I hope that's not.
Here's
true,
the thing.
But yeah,
Sue.
It's very possible.
I thought something came out that said he wasn't going to be available till like October or something. At least
Sue was next to an alien that is Aaron Donald, and he was still meh. Like, I just, the more I think about it, I just.
Well, yeah. That $6 million somewhere else. He was on a very good defensive line. I mean, I think a guy like Sue would. I think you'd notice him a lot on a line like New Orleans, just because I think he would stand out for sure.
No, the Rams have. Donald and Brockers, Andrew. I mean,
Tanzel Smart from Tulane.
So, all right, hypothetical, Andrew. The Saints signed Sue for $6 million. How many good games does he have to have in the regular season for you to not hate the signing?
Define good.
I mean, I don't know. Like, he's like one of the people that PFF mentions in the good part of the rankings. I don't know. Like,
you know. Yeah, I mean, I would say give me 3 good games. And then he turns it on in the playoffs. I mean, the thing is, right, if the Saints were to get Sue, I wouldn't even be counting on him to be a starter, playing every week, dominating the interior. That would not be my expectation at all. My expectation would be you've got a 3 or 4 man rotation with Onyemata and Brown and Stallworth, and just hold it down until Rankins can get back. That's your job. And then once we get to the playoffs, hopefully, you know, maybe you'll get a handful of snaps. And, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be his job to play 80% of snaps anymore.
Yeah, I mean, is there anybody out there besides Sue that sort of intrigues you, Andrew, as a veteran that you'd like the Saints to like kick the tires on or bring it or sign to like a 1 year deal?
Yeah, I mean, there's no one. I was looking at the free agency the other day, and there's no one that really at this point appeals to me that much. So, you know, I think the roster is what it is. You know, some people were asking me about Kyle Rudolph, the tight end. I think you need to see what happens with Jared Cook first before you start burning 2020 assets more. You know, we've already lost the second
we
round.
We need to
pick,
save those for October, baby.
Yeah. I mean, so let's make sure that tight end is the problem and not somewhere else before we go burn 2020 assets to fix it. At this point, I feel like the roster is the roster. Now if you ask me what don't I love, there's a few. I don't love receiver. I still think receiver is – we're really counting on the combination of Traquan and Cam Meredith and Kirkwood and Ted Ginn. Like, we need at least two of those to step up.
Will you draft a Saints receiver not named Michael Thomas in your fantasy league?
Draft, no. This is tough.
I mean, Kamara and Jared Cook are going to be number two and number three on the team in reception.
Right. I mean, well, it's tough because, like, no, I wouldn't. If I did, it would be very, very, very late round. But otherwise, I would just pick them up, after the draft and free agency or whatever. But the only reason I pause is I feel like I play in a league that's a bunch of New Orleans guys. And so they all know the Saints, too. So they would maybe do the same thing. So maybe I would draft somebody like, Traquan, second to last round or something like that after I've got my kicker or my defense or something like that. But, do you guys listen to I was listening to the NFL Ringer podcast, and they were talking about
dream trades.
Yeah, so you listen to that
yeah.
podcast. Yeah,
so and they Robert Mays wanted the Saints to get A.J. Green.
Yes, that's who it was, AJ Green. I was like, yeah, buddy, let's go. Let's do this.
I mean, Andrew, it's not going to happen now, but that could be some crazy Mickey Loomis type shit in October of if Cincinnati is bad and is like wanting to do a fire sale and is willing to give AJ Green, who is older now, if they wanted to give him away for a third or fourth round pick, like that is a Loomis special. Let's do a live stream podcast the beginning of October because the Saints just got AJ Green. So it's not totally insane, is it, Andrew?
I think it's pretty insane.
He's in the last year of his contract. I don't remember all of the reasons that he gave for it being a legitimate possibility, but at whatever he was saying, it was all making sense to me. And I was like, yeah, that all makes sense. I could see that happening for sure.
I mean, it would be.
Now, I will say this, Fredo in the chat, thanks for the stats, man. That's good stuff. But he pointed out what Sousats were last year. And last year, he played in all 16 games. He had 4.5 sacks, 59 tackles, and 19 QB hits. By comparison, Onyemata last year also had 4.5 sacks, only 35 tackles, and 6 QB hits. So, basically, last year he was a plus version of Onyemata. Now, that's not good for Ndamukong Suh. That's not what we're used to seeing from Suh. That's not worth $14 million. But you put Suh next to – you get Onyemata out of Suh, and you put him next to Onyemata, and it's basically like you got two Onyematas next to each other. And that's pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, like Tom Stewart said, I think $6 million, that's a good get. That's a player you want. I think the Rams just overpaid based on what they got. Sue's not the guy he used to be. But – you look at his stats. I mean, it looks like Onyemata, except a little
better. I don't feel like we're comparing apples to apples here. I feel like we're comparing apples to oranges. I mean,
why?
If you put Onyemata on the Rams, does he even make the Rams?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Wait, he makes the Rams. He's on the team. Yeah.
Onyemata, right. Didn't he have 3 sacks against Dallas though? So it looks better than it kind of was.
I just feel like Donkey Kong, he's one of many players on that Rams defensive line that are very good. And you know, he doesn't necessarily have to play. I just feel like if you take him and you put him on a defensive line like the Saints that is not very good, he's going to look a lot better than even the guys.
Wait, did you just say the Saints defensive line is not very good?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could stand some improvement for sure, yes.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, I think their defensive line is pretty good. I think the issue that they have is without
the
rankings,
defensive line,
without rankings, their interior pass rush might be bad.
Yeah,
and that's
I agree with that. But Onyemata, Rankins, Davenport, and George,
you guys,
Malcolm Brown. I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, first of all, that's this year's defensive line. We haven't even seen them play, so we don't even know. I mean, I'm just talking about last year. I didn't think that they were. I would say they were average. No.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
The Saints' defensive line?
Dude, they blew our sack. Ask out of the water. How many sacks did we ask for, Ralph?
We asked for 40.
And what did they get?
I have to look it up.
How does this?
I don't
care how they did compared to what you wanted them to do.
But 40 is a high number. 40 sacks in a year is a high
number. How did they do compared to the rest of the league? Where do they stack up? Are they top 10? Were they top 10?
In sacks?
They were top 5 in sacks.
Okay.
Ooh, damn. What you got to say now, buddy?
I don't know. I guess I've been drinking too much.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
No, I mean, you look at last year, I thought Jordan was obviously off the charts. He was excellent.
I thought going into this offseason, we wanted another pass rusher to get to the quarterback.
Yes, because Okafor left.
Okafor was – okay, there you go. Okafor was like – good, exceeded our expectations, but he's no Cam Jordan. Don't we want another Cam Jordan across Cam Jordan, just like we want another Michael Thomas across from Michael Thomas?
Well, I think the idea is that Davenport is that guy. I mean, you don't give up two firsts unless you think he's the Jordan across from Jordan.
I hope so.
Yeah, the Saints were 4th in sacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's damn good. Yeah, I mean Rankins and Jordan were phenomenal last year.
I mean, at the end of the year, by the end of the year, you could argue Rankins was the Saints' best pass rusher over Jordan and a little bit more consistent. I mean, he got injured in the playoff game, so people don't remember that, but I mean, Andrew, I think that was an argument that it wasn't necessarily an argument. It was like a really nice problem to have, right? We're like, I think Rankins might be a better pass rusher now than Jordan is late in the season. So, I mean, Rankins is a big, big hole to fill. And I don't think Saints fans quite appreciate how big it is yet. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, the sooner Rankins can get back, the better.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm nervous about it.
I hate the Rankins injury.
I'm unsure about, you know, the new guys. I know Malcolm Brown is good. I like the Malcolm Brown signing, but Okafor is gone. Davenport is a question mark. I'm a little nervous about them repeating last year.
Supposedly Rankin's Achilles is worse than Okafor's. I think I read that somewhere.
I don't believe you.
I mean, are you good? What's fair to expect from Rankins? Andrew? Because I don't think he's going to be as good as he was last year at any point this year.
Probably not. I mean, if we're being realistic, probably not.
It's
live
just...
stream is dead.
So,
rip.
So, thanks to the people in the live chat mentioning that their koozies are coming in. I'd like to thank somebody very special for mailing each one of those individually for you people. She did a great job. The stream died. What?
The stream's good, I think.
Yeah. So,
I killed it when I said the defensive line wasn't any good.
Yeah, you know, it's just the thing is, they need Davenport to be fucking amazing, I think.
Yeah.
Because
and that's not a good position to be in.
Yeah.
We're rolling the dice, you know, and we're putting all of our eggs in one basket.
They kind of did that when they traded 2 first round picks for him, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying they did that this year. That was a potential mistake. I'm not going to say it was a mistake because we don't know. But that was a potential mistake made 2 years ago or a year ago or whatever. You know. But once again, it goes back to the, you know, when you're drafting, you're signing players. I don't get it. I don't understand why you want as many bites at the apple, as many rolls of the dice, as many chances to hit the bullseye as possible. But the Saints do it the opposite way. They just guess on guys and bet on, you know, on a handful of players only.
Yeah, you gotta say this about the Saints. They wouldn't have Kamara.
Yeah. The Saints...
If they weren't your route, Dave, they would not have Kamara.
Why is that?
Because they traded up in the third round to get him, and, you know, he would have been gone by the time they picked in the third round. So, you know, you lose assets doing that, but, I mean, you know, you got to look at what Kamara means to this team and this offense now, and Sean Payton had a very clear vision for him, and he felt successful.
Let me respond to that point, actually, and say they would have gotten Kamara. You want to know why? Because they would have had multiple fucking picks in the third round if they had kept trading down all the time. They would have had they probably would have had a higher pick in the third round that they could have used to get Kamara. Okay?
The one thing about the Saints draft theory is they believe that their draft board is the best. So when they see a dude that's, you know, like McCoy, who's a borderline first-round pick, and he's there at 48, they go and get him. So the problem for the Saints is when they have a year where their draft board is shit, their draft is a complete disaster, and you've burned future assets on bad players, you know? That's what happened in 2014, 2015, and partially even 2016 a little bit. That kind of incorporates all the Saints news that we have this week, but we still have the worst Sean Payton moves bracket as we continue on. We are in the Elite Eight, gentlemen. And this first round, this Elite Eight matchup, Dave, is strong, and I'm starting with you because it's dear to your heart. The 16 seed, Kevin Hauser's pyramid scheme versus the number 9 seed, Nick Fairley's contract extension. Who you got?
Well, hold on. Let's assume that people are listening for the first time and they might not know what the Hauser pyramid scheme is. So can you please explain what these two things are?
All right.
Don't you have like a sound bite for that?
Do I? I think you are correct, Dave. Let me pull that up. Let's see. I do have the Hauser preview. So here we go. Kevin Hauser's pyramid scheme is the Sean Payton's worst decision tournament bracket, number 16 overall seed. Sean Payton's decision to invest in Hauser's tax scheme cost the coach a cool $144,000. Tax credits in Louisiana as an investment could possibly go wrong. Payton should have just taken that $144,000 and set it on fire. Payton did at least get the last laugh on Kevin Hauser by cutting the long snapper.
Ralph, you were stroking out.
Sorry there, gentlemen. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, the Kevin Hauser soundbite got eaten by the termites.
they're swarming tonight.
So that's sort of, but it's basically the movie tax breaks that Louisiana gives, you can buy those tax breaks and buy and sell them and use them as you see fit. And Kevin Hauser, Andrew, you did research. Charles Grant, how much did he invest in it?
Dude, I mean, that poor bastard. I think it was 450K that he put into that.
Man.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Charles Grant made some money while he played with the Saints. He got some pretty big contracts, didn't he?
I mean, he did. But I mean, he probably made 45 million from the Saints, 50 million, but 450 grand, Dave, is 450 grand. I mean, unless you're Jeff Bezos and you have that like in a trash can somewhere, like that's a lot of money. I mean,
I wouldn't be happy about losing it, but I'm just saying if I've got $45 million, it's invested, and I'm making at least $450,000 a year.
Is it though? If you try to invest in tax in a pyramid tax credit?
No, I'm not.
Are the rest of your investments solid? No, I'm not sure that's quite right.
I'm not investing in that. I'm investing in some Vanguard ETFs or money market. I'm not investing in tax credits. I didn't even know that was possible. How can you buy a tax credit? So what do? You buy it and you sell it to movie people?
No, I don't think you sell it. I think you just hang on to it, right?
And to do what with? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
And you just trust Kevin Hauser. Just give him your money. Yeah, he's a certified CPA. He's really smart with that stuff. He's going to take care of you. Just give him your money. It's fine.
Anyway, I'm voting for...
You don't need to understand it, Dave. Just pay the man.
I don't really know how the whole tax credit scheme even got this far, because to be honest with you, it screwed people off the field, but the only way it really even had any effect in the on-field was the fact that they had to cut Kevin Hauser, who was a pretty decent long snapper. But
the jokes have been gold. That's why it's an Elite Eight team.
You're right. So, I mean, in all seriousness, we got to go with Fairley. I mean, that cost the team a whole bunch of money.
It is kind of unbelievable that you know, Nick Fairley, he comes to the Saints, and I think, well, Dave wasn't a fan of the signing, I think, to begin with. Fairley is not that different from Ndamukong Suh, and it's kind of funny that they actually played alongside each other in Detroit. But, you know, he's kind of a guy that was drafted in the first round, and most people expected him to be a superstar because he was a freakish talent, and he kind of underachieved his whole career. He comes to the Saints and has a career year, the best year of his career, finishes the year with 6.5 sacks. And I mean, he was awesome for the Saints that year. Awesome enough that he signs a long-term deal and boom, long-term deal. As soon as the ink is barely dried and he has a heart condition that prevents him from ever being able to play football again. I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that this didn't happen in the 70s, because this story is such a Saints 70s story.
Tom Stewart says, bring your T-shirt money to me, Dave, and I'll show you how those tax credits work.
So, yeah, I don't know. The Charles Grant thing, though, I mean, he gave Hauser $500,000. Breeze sued him. Apparently he gave money back to Sean Payton, so that kind of settled. But
they had to get him up out that locker room pronto. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered he would have had to have been a first team all pro to stay in that locker room. I know Sean Payton was like, it didn't have to do with the tax scheme. Bullshit. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Hauser didn't want to be there either. If Payton didn't cut him, Hauser probably would have fucking retired or done whatever he could to get that
well,
out of him.
Well, he would have died in the locker room. Somebody would have shanked him.
I mean,
yeah, this one's tough for me, man. I'm voting Hauser.
What?
I'm voting houses.
This is ridiculous.
Man, I'm voting. It's so hard. See, the jokes are good both ways because the pyramid scheme jokes are just quality and they will flow. But the Nick Fairley extension jokes, just because of Dave's seething rage over it still, it still has comedy potential in our little world. So it's so hard. I'm going Nick Fairley's extension. I think the tiebreaker is the jokes are about the same, but Nick Fairley was actually on field, and it did potentially hurt the Saints, yes, on field and cap wise. Yeah. So I go Nick Fairley. So Nick Fairley's extension goes to
I don't know how to pronounce this. Wargoat. He says if the Nick Fairley thing happened in the 70s, they wouldn't have found the heart issue, and he would have dropped dead.
That's true.
If it was early 80s, he definitely would have dropped dead because he probably would have been doing coke like the rest of the Saints.
And AVL Saint 55 said, no one said Charles Grant was very smart. Fair point.
Man, poor Charles Grant.
Well, come on. I got the impression, yeah. I really don't think he was the smartest, the sharpest crayon in the box.
Well, yeah. I will say, I'll tell
you. You don't punch your starting quarterback in the face. That's another.
I forgot about that. That him and Aaron Brooks fought on the plane ride home, right?
Yep.
So the next one is number 13, allowing Mike Cirillo in the building, versus number 5, Junior Gallette extension. Andrew, I'll let you kick this
check,
one off.
Mickey. Cut the check, Mickey. So Junior Gallette, obviously, we all know he was a double-digit sack guy. Not much against the run, kind of a one-dimensional player, but an exciting, explosive pass rusher. The Saints gave him an extension, and he immediately went crazy, both on and off the field. He was a locker room cancer. Somehow was elected captain, which allowed him to infect the locker room even further. And then he was cut, and similar to the Fairley thing, because he was cut right after he signed, it was like he cost the Saints more off the team than he did on it, and the Saints still cut him. That was how awful and just unmanageable that situation was. But he then creates a fake account on Twitter and begins to air the dirty laundry of numerous teammates. And then goes on a drunken rant at some point in the offseason talking about how he's going to the Saints facility to pick up a $5 million check, and in which he goes on his cut the check Mickey rant. And he's clear, he's clearly about two bottles of Hennessy deep at that point. And then Mike Cirillo,
can I say this? Google Mike Cirillo. He looks like Paul Sorvino's dumb son.
This sounds like Italian stereotyping to me.
Well,
next, what are you going to say about Anzalone next? So Ralph, do you have any quotes from Joe Vitt's testimony?
Mike Cirillo is a liar. We got some notes here from Mr. Cirillo. I'll say this to you, Commissioner, and anybody that's interested. I'm taking Mike Cirillo to court. I'm going to sue his ass for the things he said about me, the things he said about this football team. He's going to be held accountable for everything that he said. I'll make this offer again. If you want me to take a lie detector test this afternoon, I will do so. Or if you want me to do it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, or I will do it. Mike Cirillo is a liar. So what was the first? I brought the pay performance program into the building. That's what he says. That's what Mr. Cirillo says. He's a liar. That's a direct quote from Vitt's grand jury testimony.
Yeah. The crazy thing that Vitt talks about too is how Cirillo says that someone died.
Yeah.
And Vitt's like, he can't attend practice or whatever. And Vitt says he's freaking lying, Sean. And Sean Payton's like, come on, man. He's not gonna make up that someone's dead. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, he's lying. And so he calls him and he's like, hey, we'll get on the plane right now. We'll fly the private jet. We'll be there in an hour. We're going to come get you. We're going to come be with you in your time of need. And, you know, I mean, sure enough, like after that whole conversation, they get off the phone and Sean Payton looks at Vid and he says, yeah, you're right. He was lying. So, I mean, yeah, Cirillo is basically the smoking gun. He is the whistleblower on Bountygate. This
he's
one's
a fucking rat.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you wonder about Cirillo's impact on the Saints, and it's, in some ways, I mean, Bountygate, I mean, it's immeasurable. You know, Gillette, in some ways, is very similar to the Nick Fairley thing financially, and I mean, giving
way worse though, way worse than Nick Fairley. Because at least with Nick Fairley, the Saints could like try to recoup it. They could do some. When you have a player with health issues, you can do some salary cap shenanigans and try to make it better. Like yeah. Junior Gillette was just a hand grenade on their cap.
The Fairley thing was also really disappointing because we liked Fairley, and I think the organization and his teammates were bummed because he fit well in the locker room, and we at least got a pleasurable experience out of him. That whole year before the Saints got rid of Gillette was one of the most miserable years. I mean, one of the most miserable players that I've ever seen on the Saints.
Yeah.
So this one's tough for me. I'm going to go with Cirillo just because Bountygate was crippling, but I could go either way.
Dave, who you got? And by the way, Junior Gillette is maybe your shining moment at the head of Canal Street Chronicles. You did your collage. Mm-hmm. You did investigative reporting that Mike Wallace at 60 Minutes would have been proud of.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. I'm eating an Airhead. I think... by the way, in the middle of the off season when it's really slow, we could do a segment where I eat one of Alvin Kamara's Airheads and review it.
Yeah.
You got to go with Cirillo. I mean, he's the impetus for the entire Bountygate thing, and that was, whether we like it or not, it's kind of defined the Saints, especially to, you know, non-Saints fans. You know, it's something that they constantly bring up, even, you know, now, 7 years later. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
One of my biggest things, besides the media just being a shit show and carrying the water for Goodell in the national media, the thing that annoyed me, one of the things that annoyed me the most, is nobody in the national media took the time to do even like basic investigating of Cirillo besides Florio. I mean, it wasn't that hard to figure out the dude was a total shit show, but the national media, like Adam Schefter and all these people, they just didn't want to do it. And it was just so frustrating, you know. And it was also frustrating that the Saints, I guess they were scared or whatever. They did, you know, Joe Vitt did it after the fact of the grand jury, but like while Bountygate was still fresh, that first like 3-4 weeks when it was just crazy, like the Saints didn't try to leak anything to like damage Cirillo's reputation like you would do in a political campaign where you would leak like the video of the senator with the hooker, you know. They didn't do any of that, and it was just, it frustrated me. But it's gotta be Cirillo, man. As bad as cut the check Mickey was, it's gotta be Cirillo.
Yeah, clean sweep.
Not to mention that Cirillo said in his testimony that he didn't spill the beans sooner because he was afraid of the Saints would whack him. He actually said that.
He used the word whack?
I don't think he used the word whack, but he...
I was going to say, that sounds like he's watched too many movies.
He feared for his safety and was concerned that if it got back that he was responsible for opening the lid on all this, that the Saints would try to hurt him in some
way. I believe he works in the NFL office now, by the way.
Of course he does.
So, the number 2 seed, Jairus
Byrd. He was promised a job in the NFL office for his cooperation.
For his whistleblowing, yeah.
Of course he's got a fucking job. Where else? Who else would hire him anyway?
I wish I had I need a Sopranos or a Goodfellas sound effect for that, but I don't.
And another comment I'll make is that Sean Payton was suspended for a year. Greg Williams was suspended indefinitely, and Greg Williams was reinstated first.
Somebody says, Fredo says, Junior, whip, whip, whip. Our fans are the best. So, number two seed, Jairus Byrd. Number seven seed, Stephon Anthony. Dave, who you got?
Yeah, this is another tough one, but, you know.
See, Anthony has the double effect of not only being a first-round pick bust, but also ruining the Jimmy Graham trade.
Stephon Anthony, as far as Saints busts go, he should thank the Lord Jesus Christ every day for Max Unger. Because if Max Unger hadn't have been awesome, we would hate Stephon Anthony 1,000 times harder than we do.
Yeah, although Unger retiring this year kind of makes that more of a reality, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, all of a sudden, like, we were expecting maybe two or three more great years out of Unger. I was not expecting him to retire this year, you know, which kind of mitigates the Graham trade. But now that he's gone, like, this kind of puts back into play how bad Anthony was.
Yeah. Well, regardless, I got to go with Jairus Byrd.
Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they bet the farm on Jairus Byrd. You know, again, going back to what I said earlier, the Saints, you know, they like to put all their eggs in one fucking basket and hope that the basket
could not have failed more epically.
And no, it could not have. And, you know, your argument is that Stephon Anthony was a first-round pick. He was supposed to be the savior for the defense. I would argue Jairus Byrd was supposed to be the same thing, but they paid Jairus Byrd way more money. I'm going with Byrd. And let's not forget too that after, now we don't know how serious he was or not, but you know,
after Jimmy Graham Anthony.
I understand that, but Jimmy Graham hasn't been, I don't know whether he would have continued being as great as he was if he had stayed with Drew Brees and stayed on the Saints, but ever since he's left the Saints, he's not even come close to you know, what he used to be. So I can't really be upset by that. If he was lighting it up in Seattle and then lighting it up in Green Bay or whatever, you know, that's another story, but he hasn't really been that amazing. What I was going to say is, you know, what the hell was I going to say? I don't know.
Jairus Byrd, the Saints made him the highest paid safety in history. And he has a soft spot in my heart because that was major Saints breaking news that happened while we taped this podcast. It might be the only time ever. And so I have a soft spot for Jairus Byrd. Man, this is such a hard call. I feel
I'm going Anthony. I'm going Anthony because
I already went Byrd, and I'm sticking with Byrd.
I'm going Anthony because you know what? Bust free agents happen all the time. You invest in a veteran, and yes, the Saints went all in on this one, and it failed epically. But busts happen all the time. Like, that's part of the deal. And whether it's free agency or first round pick, and I view a high ticket free agent and a first round pick as a similar investment. Like you're going all in on those players, and those are the guys that people
like that.
Are counting on the most. It's your high ticket free agents and your first round picks. What makes the biggest thing for me is that not only did they bust on a first round pick, but they gave up Jimmy Graham to get Stephon Anthony. And yes, I get that Unger mitigates that a little bit, but you'll remember at the time, the Saints had the worst defense in NFL history. And what they tried to do to fix it was trade away Jimmy Graham. And the whole point of that was to improve their defense by getting faster sideline to sideline and getting themselves a capable middle linebacker. And that's why they drafted him. And he was awful. So I'm going Anthony.
Do you remember after Rob Ryan got fired and he started talking and he was opening his mouth to the media and he had mentioned how, you know, they signed Jairus Byrd and he didn't even like want him. He said he didn't even fit his scheme. You know, it was he might have even said, you know, use the phrase square peg, round hole or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know how much of that is true. You know, Rob Ryan was obviously, he was a little bitter, so he might have been, you know, hell hath no fury, like a fired defensive coordinator scorn. Or even just...
Are you calling Rob Ryan a woman?
Or hell, you believe it. Hell hath no fury like Rob Ryan scorned. I guess we could be more specific. I don't know. Just that soundbite has always kind of stuck in my mind. And I don't know. For some reason, I believe him. For some reason, I just feel like Mickey and Sean, whoever else would have been involved with that, apparently not Rob Ryan, according to him. I just feel like they got really stuck on the shiny... on the shiny new toy, and they just threw caution to the wind, and I think it was a terrible decision. I think it was a terrible decision.
Well, before I give you my...
Obviously, it was a terrible decision. We all know that now.
Before I give you my pick, all draft picks are a gamble, of course, but there is one thing about gambling. Since we started the show, I get asked all sorts of questions about who to bet on and who to bet with. I don't know who's going to win, but I do know where to go. The answer is MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy wagers, there's something for everyone with the best player perks in the sportsbook business. They've been good to us, and I know they'll be good to you. They're hooking up our listeners all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you get an extra 50 to play. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to just point out one thing too with Stephon Anthony. Okay, between picks 31 and 45. There were four linebackers taken.
You stole my thunder, Andrew. I have that draft pulled up. God damn it, but continue.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you have it.
Just name all. I was just going to name them all. Broderick McKinney got picked at 43, Pro Bowl. Eric Kendricks, pick at 45, UCLA, multiple Pro Bowls. Denzel Perryman, linebacker, Chargers, pick 48. Very good. You know, the Saints,
yeah.
They picked Stephon Anthony and Kikaha, two linebackers who were fucking terrible, when they had all these good linebackers.
Yeah, basically five linebackers were taken in between picks 31 and 48. Five linebackers were taken. Three of them were good. Two of them were picked by the Saints.
It's like reaching into a bag and there's five diamonds. Or there's five diamonds and two pieces of shit, and the Saints picked both pieces of shit. They reached in once, got the piece of shit, said, ooh, that's a good one, put it on the table, reached back in, picked another turd, and said, ooh, our day is done. I mean, how is that? That's so – do you know how unlucky you have to be?
Do we not have the Happy Gilmore, you eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No, but we need it. It would be good. Or this.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
So I'm going Stephon. I gotta go Stephon Anthony on that one.
Wow. Jairus Byrd is out of the tournament.
Yeah. Shocker.
That's gonna make some listeners unhappy.
Yeah, it is. Well,
this is bullshit.
This is gonna make some of our people on this show unhappy.
So our last Elite Eight game, number 3 Steve Spagnuolo, number 6 Jason David. This one has, I think, somebody that can win this tournament is going to lose right here, Dave. Who you got?
I'm going with Jason David. You know, Spagnuolo, you know, he was only around for a year. And obviously it was the worst defense in NFL history. But I'm going with David. And
how is Jason David more hated than Brandon Browner?
He's not hated. First of all, I really have to – I'm glad you say that because I want to clear that up. I don't hate Jason David. He's not hated. And again, I think I said this last week, the whole Jason David thing, the frustration is 100% with the organization and not with him. I think the organization signed a guy who didn't fit our scheme, right? Jason David was more of a I don't remember what it was.
Cover two corner.
He was more of a man guy, and we were playing zone. And another situation of trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
I think you had that backwards, but continue.
What, trying to fit a round peg in a square hole?
No. No, that we were a man defense.
I know we were right. I prefaced it by saying I don't remember which one we were, which one was we were, and which one he was. But, and not only that, but then they stuck with it for years. They stuck with it for what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And he continued to be still our. Well, not our best, maybe our best cornerback, only because he would actually come up with a turnover every now and then.
Well, yeah, and you know what? At least what he had to show for his legacy is decent stats. Like, you can look at all the times he was burned and he was awful. Don't get me wrong. But, like, if you were to just look at Jason David and pull up his stats, like, someone who would have never seen him play before would say, hey, this guy, Jason David, in this three-year period for the Saints was pretty good, no? Like, you would just look at his stats and see the number of interceptions, and he would not look nearly as bad as he was. Meanwhile,
he probably had a lot of tackles, too, because
he probably did. Yeah, he was being thrown at every play. Meanwhile, you look at Spagnuolo's resume, and you would see worst defense in NFL history. That's why it's an easy choice.
The Saints players were openly revolting against him and not listening to him.
Right, but the season was lost. This was Peyton's.
It wasn't just, and this wasn't like. And so junior
I feel like
Gillette.
This. I feel like that season was lost. Nothing was ever gonna. The Saints were never gonna have any chance in hell that season of any success. So to me, it's like it doesn't really matter. It's like, yeah, they were shit. It's almost like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm actually happy that they were the worst defense in history. In the NFL history, because if you're gonna suck, which they were always gonna suck. Without Peyton, looking back on it now, they had no chance. They had absolutely Joe Vitt coaching the team. Come on, they had no chance. So to me, it's like, you know what, 2012. It was gonna be a shitty season. You know what? You might as well.
Aaron Cromer's done some really great things with his life since.
Yeah, Jesus, I forgot about Cromer too. Yeah, Cromer had to do the first two games right while Vitt was
interim. Yeah. No, Cromer did the first. He did the first.
Four?
I thought Cromer did the first four. Six.
No,
four.
No.
Yeah, it was four. Yeah, it was four, I think.
I mean, so honestly, I feel like if you're gonna go big or go home. If you're gonna suck, just be the best at sucking. Be the best that you can be at sucking, and that's what they did in 2012. That's what Steve Spagnuolo should have a statue next to Gleason.
It was the first.
Be the best at something.
It was. Cromer was 2-4. Joe Vitt was 5-5.
Wow. Well, Joe Vitt is just a fucking a coaching genius, isn't he? so anyway, you gotta go with Jason David.
Well, didn't Cromer get busted for like choking out a girl or something?
Yeah, when he's in Buffalo, I think. I think he's back. Yeah,
punching a child in the face and throwing his fishing pole in the lake and then threatening to kill his entire family. Yep, that's our head coach. Interim, of course.
Interim. He's with the Rams now, I think.
Wait, so you're telling me he was on the team that beat us? God, that makes it worse. My pick is Spags, man. I mean, I'll never be the same after watching that defense play for a year.
Yeah, I mean, how that defense shut out a team, I will never fucking understand in my entire life.
What I was gonna say about Spags is it wasn't even like it was Junior Gillette and a bunch of knuckleheads. It was like when you hear the reports, it's like Shanley and Roman Harper and Malcolm Jenkins. Like those were the guys that stopped playing for him. I mean, all three of those guys were just like, yeah, by the end of the year, like, he'd call out a play and we would just do something else because we knew it wasn't going to work. So I'm Team Spags all the way. I think I'm riding him to the championship.
Yeah, I think I got to go Spags too, just because that decision was so fucking terrible. And people were excited about that hire too, and it was just so bad. And I wonder,
how is he still in the league?
He's making all the decisions that Kansas City has made on their defense. They got rid of Justin Houston. They traded who'd they trade to San Francisco? They traded D Ford to San Francisco, and they signed Frank Clark for $100 million, and they got Honey Badger and all the, like, all those decisions. That's all Spags, man, because they believe that Spagnuolo is going to fix their defense and get them to the Super Bowl. Good fucking luck with that, Kansas City. So that wraps up the Elite Eight. So we have a Final Four of none of the top four seeds made it. We have Nick Fairley's extension.
No, that's not true. Cirillo Spags in the was building. Three seed.
What's that? Oh yeah, Spags. Spags is the only seed that made it through. Wow. So
wait a minute. I'm just realizing y'all are giving me shit about freaking out and being upset about the Saints defensive line. Ralph, you named this week's podcast "Let's Panic About the 2019 New Orleans Saints Pass Rush."
I know. And it like did I not do a good job? You are in full panic. Like
You lured me into your trap.
Nailed it. You like my 4 cent paint graphic that I created?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Is that Sheldon Rankins, who's not gonna be playing December?
It's perfect. It's perfect. So I wanted to say before we get out of here, everybody get yourself over to Patreon and get yourself your free koozie. People are putting it on the Twitter. It is the most amazing koozie in the world. My cat is just singing its praises as I speak, as they fucking brawl at each other under my table.
I think our new logo should be your cat's, the picture of your cat.
So get over to Patreon and get your free koozie. We have all kinds of tiers. Dave, we just ordered a new batch of shirts. Dave is going to ship out the shirts to people that need them. So do it. It's amazing. And we got some really, really cool stuff cooking for the summer and kickoff in the fall that you guys are going to love. So do it. So, Andrew.
You don't have any Twitter questions?
No, because when I do the live stream, and I hope that it works, I just let the live stream people do the questions.
No, you got to still ask Twitter. There are people on Twitter who aren't on the live stream who still want to ask.
I guess I should have. But can we declare the live stream and my new dial-up, can we declare it a success? Because we didn't have any hiccups, we didn't have any crises tonight. Andrew, I think we can.
We had a couple close calls. I think well,
other than my internet dropped right off the bat.
Yeah, your internet dropped. I think the stream died for about 2 seconds at one point.
Yeah, and the termites.
And then you stroked out during the Hauser pyramid scheme.
Yeah, but we just rebooted it and it's good. So
no call dropping. So this was much better. I'm gonna re-listen to this one tomorrow morning and give my critiques.
Yes, and remember, people, we do this every day, me and Andrew, and you think it's the dead period, but it ain't the fucking dead period, man. $7 a month, you get a Saints podcast every freaking day and a koozie. Why aren't you doing it? So for Dave, for Andrew, all the people in the live stream, we appreciate you for hanging out with us for an hour. We will see you next week. The bar is closed.